look at you all in your seats, calm and quiet. It's not normal. Hello. Hi. Hello, everybody on the cameras. Welcome, welcome. So, let's pray. Father God, we welcome you into this place. Lord, we welcome you into our lives. We come today to worship you, to bring what we have for you. Lord, take us, use us, teach us, mold us into your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. I'm going to just read, probably the last time you heard this was at a wedding. So I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Lord, today we lift up all those who are in need, those who we know and those who we don't, those in countries torn apart by war, those with illnesses. Lord, we lift them all up to you, and we pray that in these horrible times they would find your peace, that you would be their shelter and their deliverer in this time of need. Amen. Just before I invite Carol up, I've got a couple of notices of my own. So this week, the directory finally flew into your inboxes. I'm so sorry it's taken so long. If you were expecting one and you haven't had one, please let me know and I will sort that out. And if you see anything that needs changing, also please let me know. If you opted for a paper copy, I'm going to wait until I've done all the corrections, because there's always something not quite right, and then I'm going to get the paper copies out. And the other is a shameless plug. So tomorrow we're holding a fundraiser at Jack's Theatre School to raise funds for our upcoming show. And any profits that we do make, half will go to Cancer Research UK and half will go to keeping our building in good repair. So if anybody's free from 3 till 5 tomorrow, you can come and eat cake and sing karaoke and get henna tattoos and a lot of other things. Come and see me if you would like to know more. Carol, come and do the proper notices. Thank you.
Just a few notices then for the coming week. Tomorrow, the prayer and meditation via Zoom at 9:30. And Tuesday the 2nd of May, we have the ARC playgroup, who will be meeting in the morning from 10 till 11:30, and also in the afternoon from 1 until 2:30. And she's a real slave driver, this Miss Dean, you know. She's got a mini messy church after that. That is at 3:30 until 5 o'clock. So just please pray for all the people involved, and of course all the children that will be attending, and their carers as well, of course. On Wednesday, the 3rd of May, at the prayer walk, starting at 10 o'clock, they will be meeting at Lodge Lane Playing Field by the playground this week. This is something that Jan's been doing for a few weeks now, and I can't help but stick my nose in, can I? But I just have to say that I went for the first time on Wednesday, and it was absolutely lovely. There was Annie, Jan and myself just walking round the streets praying. It's like having an ongoing conversation with God. I'd never actually realised it was like that before, and it was really lovely. And obviously we were praying for the homes, but also the lovely sunshine, the beautiful trees. It was just a really lovely time. So if you're able, physically, and of course, if you've not got anything to do, I would encourage you to join us, because it really is a lovely time together, just for an hour, or maybe even three quarters, depending on where we go. But and of course, please do pray at home or wherever you are if you're not able to actually be there. So on Thursday the 4th of May, we're at the Lunch Club, which is we're doing really well. We're getting quite a lot of people coming now. That starts around about 12 o'clock. And this next Saturday, the 6th of May, we have the prayer meeting down at church at 9:30. Just a couple of advance notices. Saturday the 13th is the men's breakfast. So that's at 8:30. So please do get in touch with Michael, Mark or George if you need perhaps to let them know if you can come, but it doesn't really matter. Just turn up on the morning. And then on Sunday the 14th, we have something very special happening during the morning service. George and Pauline are renewing their marriage vows. 15 years, I can't believe it. Is it 15? Yeah. So that would be really good if people could come and celebrate this this achievement, put it that way, with them. You've passed the 2-7s, so you're getting in the right direction. I did hear a rumour earlier that there could be some cake. So if you're wondering about coming, that might make it make your mind up for you. Sunday the 16th of July, I mentioned last week we're having our business meeting for church members after the morning service at 12. And New Hope Food Bank, I mentioned again last week. Thank you so much to everyone who's donated so far. Please keep them coming if you can, because supplies are getting a bit low on certain. I'll just mention them again on certain items: sugar, jam, UHT milk, noodles and dried pasta in sauce, pot noodles, that kind of thing. So thank you very much for your continued support. Have a good week.
Thanks, Carol. Before I get into this, I don't know if I am going to get into this. That's another story. I'll come to that. Lots of people are suffering here today. We know you are. We've heard it. We've seen it. But what I want to say to you, what I feel God is saying, is that often, when you can, be still. And this is not what I'm saying. This is what God's saying. Be still and know that I am God. Very simple words. Very simple. I said this the other week, and I often say it in house group. Annie'll vouch for that. It's hard. We know it's hard. We've been there, and we may be going through it. But be still and know that I am God. That is what he's saying to you. You know, the hardest part of all that is actually being still and focusing on the presence of God. When you do it, believe me, because I sometimes feel I've been to hell and back many times. The peace, the love, the grace that is poured out upon you is phenomenal. It's in great abundance, because this is God who wants to love you, who wants to care for you, who wants to look after you, who wants to bless you and feed you, not just physically, but spiritually as well. So whatever we're going through, and I know there's a lot of people going through a lot of stuff, be assured that God loves you. Be assured that we're praying for you. And be assured that there is always someone there with you. It's hard. And you will come through. And you'll know you'll come through, because you'll look back and you'll see how far God has brought you through. And I often say it to people that are at the end of their life: be assured of that peace, be assured of that hope, because there's always hope, whether this side of life or the next. There's always hope. I say it depends what we're speaking on, because the difficulty is, preachers amongst us will know that you have to prepare, of course you do, but then, like yesterday, Julie and I was at the YBA assembly and the 100th AGM, and as I sat there and I was hearing of some great speakers, some great people, I was thinking what I'd prepared and thought, okay, God, you're telling me something different. And then what I heard this morning, the songs we sung this morning, God's stirring something else in, and it's difficult. Those of us that are preachers know that, because it's so easy to cling on to and just keep what you've done and prepared and slaved over. But when God's wanting to say something different, then what do? Do you make it about you and what you've done? Or do you turn around and let go and say, okay, God will speak? It's difficult. But what I feel God is wanting to say is that there may need to be a change of heart. As we're looking at this series about unity and conflict, we've looked already at our roots. What does it look like to be Baptist? Where did Baptists emerge from? Where do we root ourselves in our identity? It's in Christ. Again, it's easy to say that, but do you actually see that for yourselves? Do you see that your identity is rooted in Christ? Shove aside all the theological ideologies and all the rest of the jargon you want. Do you see that you are fully rooted in Christ, saved by the one who came to give his life once and for all? There's a starting point. You want to talk about roots? There's a starting point. Where are you rooted? In your faith, in your belief, and not so much where, but in who? You remember 3 weeks ago, I said in that sermon as we started about where we align ourselves. Is that with God? Yes, we may be in the world, but we're not meant to be of the world. And it's one thing to rest our security in one thing, but then practice and behave in another way and allow our securities to lie in somewhere or something else. And you remember Rob speaking last week about unity. That unity in Father God and Holy Spirit. That beautiful relationship that is unbreakable, that we, as called sons and daughters, heirs and graces of the eternal inheritance, are part of that and can be of that. But do you see that and do you know that for yourselves? Because it's one thing to say, it's another thing to believe, and yet it's another thing to do and be part of. We don't just come and pay lip service to this stuff. We shouldn't just come and sit and just take part of the service and think, well, that's been good today. We've sung some good songs. We've had a good cup of tea. And we might get a good biscuit or a piece of cake or whatever. Is that what putting securities in and faith and belief in? Having a bit of a chingbar, a bit of a gossip maybe? Hearing a few words, singing a few songs, feeling a bit better for ourselves, then going out and doing whatever? That's not what Christ called you to follow him. Your unity surely can't lie within that. And this isn't to tell off, this is to reflect. I often do this, sometimes on a daily basis. Where am I in my relationship with God? Because sometimes I fall foul of the world. And of deeds and of words. I remember once Rob saying he would be embarrassed if he was to put up on the wall things that were said or if he was to hear some of the things in the house. I hold my hands up and say the same thing. And it's very easy to say, oh, but I'm human. For me personally, I sometimes forget who God called me to be. And I don't mean that as a minister, as a pastor. I mean that as a child of God. Saved by the grace of Jesus Christ upon that cross through his salvation. And so it's often difficult, sometimes just facing each day. But it's faced a whole lot easier when we know where and who we're rooted in and through. And when we know that we're in that unity, not only of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but of where we are in unity with one another. Because there then pours out the display of how we behave with one another. And I've said this for years and years. Often on a Sunday, I say we often come with theatrical faces. I may kick the dog around the house in the morning, joking, I don't, but in this sense. Sadly, this isn't a joke. Sometimes I'll have wrong words with Julie. I'm just being honest. And then I'll come. And I might have walked or driven here quite angry. Someone might have cut me up and there might be a few choice words there. And then I'll come through those and say, "You're right, morning, how are you doing?" It's theatrical. When was the last time you saw anyone storm through the door? "Morning, you're right, do one. Leave me alone, shut up. Oh, did you hear what they just said?" We don't, we simply come with theatrical verses. Are we being true to ourselves and true in our relationship to God? Probably not. Now, I'm not expecting next week those doors to be kicked through by someone and be like, "Rah!" just offloading everything. You want to come and offload, offload, shout and scream. But how do we display our behaviour? How do we behave? If we're called to be sons and daughters, if we're called to be brothers and sisters in that spiritual sense, in that perfect Trinitarian relationship through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What does bring me into is what I did initially feel God calling to speak on was the first letter that Peter wrote. In 1 Peter, if you want to look at this, it's in the normal pew Bibles, it's on page 1015. 1 Peter. In the small print versions, it's 1015. And chapter 2 in particular, and let's read it. It's good to read God's word. And so we'll read chapter 2. As you see there, it's entitled "A Living Stone and a Holy People." And so Peter writing, he says this: "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up in salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honour is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for whose own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honourable, so that whenever they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honour everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the emperor, Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and the Gentile, but to the gentle, but also the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin or are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do a good and suffer for it, you endure, this is the gracious thing in sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Well, before we get into the chapter, and I'll be honest now, I don't know where we're going with this, but here we go. God does. Before we get into this, Peter is writing to the scattered believers who, again, were first facing persecution as first century Christians. And they were living in a hostile environment and needed encouragement to keep faith. That's almost like today, no different, is it? It's almost like today. You think of some parts of the world where people are unable to do what we're doing. Sadly, even in today's age, gunmen, certainly in some of the African churches, will burst through. In other places, they will be hung, tortured, for doing simply what we're doing. Simply because they want to know the Lord God. And so Peter's writing to those scattered believers, facing persecution and suffering, living in hostile environments, needing encouragement to keep their faith alive. And Peter wrote to remind them of their identity in Christ and to encourage them to live holy lives. That's no different for us today. That's no different for us today. We're encouraged to live holy lives. And that brings it back to how we behave. Not just within ourselves, within our relationship to glorify God through Jesus Christ, but with one another. And I think it is sad to say that sometimes it's far easier to walk amongst those that don't believe and journey with them and have conversation, fruitful conversations with them, than it is with fellow Christians sometimes. Because often the cloudiness and the judgments and the theology and the ideologies get in the way. Well, I believe this. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I think this. Well, I think that. Arguing and bickering amongst ourselves. And yet when you go and when you simply share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with someone, very simply, all kinds of questions come out, where you're able to have amazing conversations. If you don't do it, try it. It's what you're called to do, first and foremost, to share the good news, is it not? We could stop there and talk about our behaviour in that sense of what it is to follow Christ and to go. But in terms of how we behave, it's almost like a public display, if you like, the church, the global church. And believe you me, over these last few decades, it's not been a good picture. Certainly over the last few years, where you've had the huge multi-denominational, big church, capital C, if you like, reports on and into the abuse scandals that have gone on. Because there has been no denomination whatsoever that escaped it. What kind of message does that send out to the world? And so it comes down to our behaviour. It comes down to how we behave in ourselves as individuals, as followers of Christ, in that relationship. It comes down into our behaviour of how we display that in and amongst with our friends and our families and our neighbours, and of course in unity with one another on a Sunday, or throughout the week, or in the different events that we may have, or the meetings that we have with one another. How does that look for one another? Definition of behaviour, if you like, is the way in which one acts or conducts oneself, especially towards others. There's a definition taken from the Oxford Dictionary. The way in which one acts or conducts oneself, especially towards others. This is what we're talking about. We're reminded, Peter reminds us, right at the very beginning of this chapter, he says, therefore, rid yourselves of malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, and every kind. What does that look like if we're often in the practice of doing that? Being slanderous against people, even fellow brothers and sisters, to be gossiping, to bring in false accusations without going and seeing and talking, because we'd rather do that than face people. Because if we're not getting it right within our churches, then what hope have we got when we try to go out and sojourn with those that are yet to come and know Christ? Again, we're reminded, as it says in verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. What does it look like for you to sit there, to be reminded of those words, and to put yourself in those shoes and think and change it, say, I am a chosen person, a royal priesthood, a part of the holy nation, and I am God's special possession? Just like in the song that we sung earlier, where we sing, you are who you say, I am who you say I am. To then declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Because you know yourselves, when you step into that wonderful light, when you know that salvation has come, when you know that Jesus is living and breathing in and through everything that you do and say and in your every being, how can you step back into the darkness? What is it that causes us to do that? And again, I hold my hands up and sometimes say, I do slip back to my old ways. Praise God, not how bad I used to be, but still I have dark and off days where my language isn't very right, can be quite colourful. Just being honest. Not trying to be big or proud or boasting, it's sometimes how I am. But every time I'm pulled up by it, every time I know Holy Spirit is wrestling within me and pulling me up on it, and I need to seek his forgiveness even more. Or when I've wronged people or said wrong things, I try my best to resolve. Because that's the right thing to do. Sadly, often, it doesn't always go maybe the way you wanted it to be, all of us wanted that to be, and often it's a case where you've done all that you can, you lay that aside and you move forward. Because you can't harbour and resent in areas where you've done everything you can or the other person's done everything they can. Sometimes you need to go your own ways. People come and people go. This is life. Because ultimately, it's about where we see God wanting us to be, who he wants us to be. He wants us to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He wants us to know that we are God's, his special possession. To know that each and every one of us are counted free. To know that each and every one has a place in his heart, in his house. And each and every one of us has a plan to follow. A plan that he gives us that will prosper us and not harm us. How does that play out? In our thoughts, in our attitudes, in our behaviours. How does that play out in the unity to which we are called? How does that look when we go back to our roots and see where it is and who it is that this comes from and who that we are to follow? I often joke and say sometimes if Jesus was to come back right now, not in his second coming to call us all to glory, because there's still a great work to be done, but if he was to sit at the back, sat right next to you now, Glenys, he'd probably be going, what the heck's he on about? What's all this about? Why is it that you do that? You call this a church service. Well, why do we do these things? We've made it something that it wasn't to be. Over the centuries. That's not our fault here today. It's just what it is. It's learnt inherited behaviour. I'm not saying for 1 minute we strip it all out and go back to first century Christians. Not at all. What I'm saying is, how do we behave? How do we see that unity together? How do we recall the forefathers and the forebearers of things that have set up and gone before us? That we continue to build upon that. But yet, the very stone which Jesus himself said to Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. It's his church, because we are his. I guess our behaviour should reflect holiness. You'll have to sort that out. I'm sorry, Janet. Fingers are going all over. Technology, wonderful. How does it reflect? How should our behaviour reflect the holiness and righteousness of God? We only need to look to Peter's letter. It reminds us. He gives us a guidance, if you like. This isn't just someone that's cobbled a letter together. This is someone who sat face to face with Jesus. Who Jesus said, you'll deny me 3 times. I'll never deny you. I'll fight for you to the end. Is the one that got a bit giddy with his sword and lopped off the centurion's ear. Because he would fight to the death for Jesus. But then hours later, dejected, rejected and ran away from him. But then was the one that came face to face upon that beach that morning where Jesus had prepared breakfast for them and asked him 3 times, do you love me? And then said to him, it is upon this rock that I will build my church. And he went and gave some of the greatest testimonies and sermons that the world has probably ever seen amongst the other greats. That saw thousands come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. Here's the one that reminds us, as he says between verse 11 and 12, Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Sometimes it's our own faults that we're in the position we're in. Because sometimes we allow ourselves to get too uptight, too upset about what other people are thinking or what other people are saying. That's their issue, not ours. A Let them have those issues. Maybe journey along and help them with those. Pray for them. Love them. But ultimately, how is it that we conduct ourselves? As he says there in those verses, urge you to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live good lives amongst the pagans, as it says, or those who accuse you of doing wrong, you may see, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits. So if you're keeping yourself in good conduct, if you're keeping yourself right in that relationship, and if your behaviour exhibits that in word and in deed, then people will naturally see a difference in you. People will naturally see the light of Christ shining out. And it never ceases to amaze me every time people say there's something different about you. What is it? Oh, well, thank you, God. Here's an opportunity. It's not what is it, it's who is it. It's Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Let me tell you about him. Let me pray with you. There's the gospel act right there. Yes, sometimes we need to absorb the flak that comes our way. Sometimes we need to resolve some issues. But as I said earlier, sometimes issues may not be able to resolve because of individuals or people or groups that may not want it to be resolved or may feel that it can't be resolved and so simply go separate ways. This is life. You read in Scripture, it happened many times. You read in the book of Acts with Paul and Mark where they split on their journey. And for years, as we look back, never spoke and went and did what God was calling them to do. But if we take one thing from this, if we take one thing from this and learn and reflect and maybe need to change ways, maybe need to change attitudes, behaviours, whatever it is, this is for you to reflect on. As we take from this, it's Peter that is ultimately pointing to Jesus. As he says in verse 21, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example. As I prayed earlier, as again as it says in Scripture, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He is the one that is the ultimate supreme example that we can look to and follow and model ourselves on to try and be more Christ-like. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. Jesus committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. Yet when he was insulted, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Because it is through his wounds that we have been healed. So how is it that we live in our relationships with Christ, individually? How is it we live in our relationship, in our relationships within our families and amongst our friends and our neighbours? And how is it that we live and behave in our fellowship? Simply to be more Christ-like. Simply to, as Rob said last week, to be humble, to be gentle, to be patient, to be loving. Now, I'm not saying it's all candy floss and rainbows and unicorns all the time. Sometimes we may have different words, different opinions. But let's not fight and fall out about them. Let's hold them, as we said, in our roots as Baptists. We're grassroots people that are able to journey along together and have those differences of opinion, hold them in conversation, and maybe agree and disagree. Because it's not to drive the flag in upon the hill and die upon it. Over what? Some difference in theology, some difference in ideology? If it's blasphemy, that's different. How is it that we can display that behaviour to one another as God's chosen people, as we're called to live as representatives of his kingdom on earth? Well, our behaviour should reflect the values and principles of God's kingdom rather than conforming to our own patterns, to our old ways, because we're called to be different, to stand out, to be the light that shines everlasting into the darkness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we just reflect upon those words, may we be reminded and may we fix our eyes upon Jesus. May we be reminded that he was the living stone rejected by the men in the sight of God, and yet chosen and was precious to be that living stone amongst upon whose spiritual houses are built. We're reminded, for those that will do good, that the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And for those that don't, this stone is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence. Lord, may we be found in your place. May we be found to be doing and saying the right things, Lord, that you would have us say and do. May you fill us again with Holy Spirit to be our guide, to be our counsellor, to be our everlasting one that will walk with us surely all the days of our life. Lord, may we exhibit behaviours that are not only pleasing to you and that will glorify your name, but Lord, that would be a shining light to others. Whether it's those we journey along with regular, whether it's fellow believers, or yet, Lord, whether it's those that are yet to come and know you. May you change and convict our hearts for what needs changing and convicting. May we be reminded that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, your special possession. Lord, would you help us in our hour and time of need? Would you help us to live lives that are right and worthy for you? We ask this in your name. Amen.
Father God, as we go from this place, we lift up to you all the things we've heard today. We pray that those things you need each of us to hear will be like arrows and will pierce our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that you take broken people and you use them for your glory. We know we are not perfect, Lord. And that's why we're here. And so, Father God, we come to you and we say sorry for all the times we've strayed away from what you want us to do. We lift up to you those difficult conversations, those difficult people. We pray that you would give us the words and the courage to go into those, knowing that you are in us and with us. And Lord, we pray for the unity of this family. We pray for the love in this building, and we thank you for it. We pray that it would just grow to overflowing. And we pray all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless.